No.
I literally just tricked Nate into making a little clip for me.
Oh my God.
I started a podcast last night. I haven't finished it, but I was so sad that you haven't done it. And I was talking about, you know, waiting for you. And so finally I trapped him. I said, Nate, I have something to tell you. And I made him sit down and I just whipped out my phone to talk. Okay. You don't have to do a whole podcast, obviously. I know you only have like 5 minutes, but in the past 2 months, what have been your favorite things about farming on our farm?
Probably nothing.
It's been a hard year.
Probably not much. I don't know. I mean,
was it when the pigs escaped?
The pigs escaping, though, like, we thought it would be a big deal, and then it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to put this clip in the beginning, so I haven't told that story yet, so no spoilers.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding.
I don't know where you're going to put it. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it could have been a big problem, and then I obviously made some phone calls to some people to, like, get ready to get the pigs, but didn't have to do all that. So we had that, and then what other fun stuff?
I also talked about the owl issue, which was a whole saga that's not ended.
It's not ended yet. Yeah, there's not really a whole lot of solutions that you can do with an owl legally. Like, like, you have to, you know, they're one of those animals that are, you have to get a permit to, you know, actually dispatch an owl.
And then shooting at night is never fun.
You can't shoot it at night unless you get a permit from...
else would you shoot an owl, then? If you get a permit, wouldn't it
you
be...
You have to have a permit.
Right, but you would think within that permit, it would be expected you'd have to do it at night.
Oh, yeah. Once you have the permit, you can do it at night.
Yeah.
You can always predator hunt at night.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, it's just not
like you
fun.
Can shoot a coyote at night whenever. Yeah, I know. So, yeah, I mean, I have some ideas that the law is just so crazy about basically almost all birds of prey. It's like, it specifically says, like, you can't harass them. But at this point, it's property destruction. But also, you still have to get a permit for them. Like, it's crazy. They're one of the few animals that you have to get a permit to do and to even, like, look at.
Approximately how many chickens do you think it has killed?
Probably at least 30 by now.
Oh, my God. Hate that. I've been blocking it out.
Yeah. I've been just trying to put barricades up around our stuff. But good news, when I came home early this morning from work, it was hunting over on the neighbor's property. So.
That's good for several reasons. Okay. Well, thank you for checking in. Everyone will be very happy to hear your voice at least.
Yeah, right. I'll try to find some time to sit down, but... Yeah, I mean, the farm's crazy, and we have lots of stuff to do, and
yeah,
and we did a lot of house projects.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and a lot of work, like
a lot of work, a lot of stuff. Trying to be fun parents for the summer, trying to be married people and do things together.
Yeah,
so.
And logging 64 hours of overtime, like every paycheck.
Yeah, it's hard being poor. All right, well, thank you. You can continue doing what you were doing.
Yeah, I will.
Sorry, I lied to you. Hello, do you remember me? It is April from With My Hands Homestead, back finally again. I swear these podcasts just keep getting longer and longer spans of time apart from each other. So thank you for staying with us. And if you've subscribed on any of your podcast apps, we truly appreciate it. I don't know how to start this off without sounding cliche, like I start off every episode, but it's been quite a while. I don't even want to look at how long it's been, to be honest. We are at the end of June at this point, and I know it has been, I think the last episode we were finishing up lambing, so that had to have been a long time ago. But we are here now. Right in midsummer, we are going strong with summer over here in eastern North Carolina. It hasn't been quite as hot as usual, I venture to say. Watch me totally jinx that. And now we're going to get like fire from here on out. But everything has been pretty on par with how you would expect summer to be, honestly. I feel like usually I feel like we always joke of, oh, this summer is extra hot, or this winter is extra cold, or we've had so much rain, or we haven't had any rain, and it's so out of character of all the seasons, blah, blah, blah. But I swear that's more of the norm to feel like it's not the norm. So for this to be kind of as expected is weird. But man, I have so much to talk about, and Nate will not be here today. I'm sorry. I've been pushing this off, waiting for him to do it with me, and it just has not panned out. He is still on night shift, and it's been hard to coordinate. So he will not be here. I'm sure once he hears me post this, he'll want to do the next one because I'm sure I'll screw things up. But we will see how that ends, I guess, in the next podcast. Man, oh man. So where do I even begin? Like I said, I have a lot to say. I have topics I want to talk about. I have updates I want to provide, but I figure I will start with the updates because I feel like all the topics that I want to talk about might be more on like the bummer mode, and I don't want to bum anyone out. So let's go ahead with the updates. Well, if I remember correctly, I should have listened back on the last episode. But I'm pretty sure we mentioned a great pig escape in the last episode where some of the pigs had gotten out and it was so hard to get them out, blah, 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 blah. Well, that was crap because we had the true great pig escape a couple weeks ago. Oh my, I have never wanted to just get rid of any animal in my life as much as I wanted to get rid of the pigs a couple weeks ago. Oh my God. Oh yeah. So, spoiler alert, the pigs got out again, and this time it was insane. So we in the beginning of the summer, it probably was like over a month ago now. But we had a really big thunderstorm, like a super, super big with like the booming thunder that like rattles the whole house and pretty high winds. And we actually had some lightning strike our neighbor's barn, which I've seen happen before, but I forgot how loud it is when lightning actually strikes something. It was so loud and kind of scary. So we had this big thunderstorm. And, lightning everywhere, whatever. Well, this was happening, I think, like early evening into the night a little bit. I'm trying to, the time I feel like is really pertinent. So I think it was, I want to say, like from, 4 o'clock to like 7 o'clock is when it was really bad, or maybe a little bit earlier. And I say that because my husband works night shift, and usually he does the farm chores from, around 2 till he leaves at around 6. So in that time frame is usually when he does the chores because that's when he's up. He's already gotten the kids back. I'm usually home from work at some point in that time, and then he leaves for work around 6 p.m. But because it was such bad weather, he ended up, I can't remember now, it was so long ago, but he must have checked on them earlier in the day. So he didn't go out then before he went to work. And so before he left, I remember making a joke of, oh, I hope the pigs are okay. And I think, in retrospect, when he left, he was like, I thought about going back there and checking to make sure the fence was still on before I left, and he didn't. So he went out working all night. He came back in the morning. And then even when he came back, I don't think he ended up checking on the pigs until, around that time the next day. So probably around, 3 or 4 p.m. the next day. And I get a text from him when he's back there. And if I remember correctly, I think it said, I need help. Pigs are gone. So I have the kids. I have to set the kids up with a TV show because I'm like, oh God, like, not this again, not this again. It was so hard to get them back last time. What do you mean the pigs are gone? So I go back there. Literally, pigs are gone. Like, there are no pigs back there. And the last time that they got out, it wasn't ever all of them at the same time. It would be like one or maybe like two. And then when we were trying to get them back in, more would come out. It wasn't that big of a deal. But this time, there was not a snout in sight. They were gone. We couldn't hear them. And they are big boys now. I'm terrible at approximating weight, but I mean, they are well over 300 pounds, I would guess. Like, or at least 100% over 200 pounds. Like, they are big, beefy pigs, and they are long, and they are low to the ground, and like, they are just huge and heavy. So when they walk, like, usually when you go back to the woods, because if you're new here, we do have wooded pigs. We keep them in our woods back behind our house. So usually when you're walking through the pasture and you're getting up cl close to the woods, you can hear them in the woods. Like, you can hear them rubbing up against stuff, and it's just like hearing someone stomping through the woods, essentially. Like, it's never quiet back there. But when we went back there this time, dead silent. We couldn't hear them anywhere. And usually, again, you hear them snorting and puffing, and especially when the four-wheeler comes back there, because Nate always has food. So, of course, they associate that with the food. So they always start snorting and huffing and puffing and running toward the four-wheeler. But they're n nothing. So Nate is like, he never panics about anything, but I could see the calm panic in him, because we just literally didn't know what to do. Like, we were just like, I don't know. So we literally just start yelling for them, because we hope, they are really, really smart, and obviously they don't know their names, but they do know the sound of our voice, and they know that we bring food. So we're just calling back there, and Nate is running the four-wheeler everywhere, hoping that they'll hear it and come to us, but they are nowhere. So after a little bit, I still have the kids inside, so I have to come inside. And it's starting to get dark, and we're like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. Where are these pigs? So he ends up literally like going door to door to some of our neighbors' houses, being like, hey, our pigs are gone. If you see them, call us. But no one had seen them. There's really no signs anywhere. We can kind of see maybe one direction that they had gone. But other than that, we didn't really see many signs of like rooting or anything like that. So we are just like absolutely freaking out. I'm like, should we call not the game warden. What's the other, the animal control, like, should we call animal control and just let them know that we have missing pigs? I imagine if someone didn't know us and they just found a bunch of 400-pound pigs somewhere, they'd probably call animal control. It was a whole mess, and it was so much stress, and we were both so freaked out because, number one, there are animals. Number two, we don't want them rooting up anyone's yard or like messing with anyone's livestock, because last time they had gotten in our neighbor's yard and had really freaked out their animals. So we definitely didn't want that to happen. And number three, that's a lot of money. Like, those are full six, at the time it was six full grown pigs. Three of them were our breeders. Two of them should have been pregnant, hopefully are pregnant right now. We're like, that is thousands of dollars. That is just out of our life right now. So we're freaking out. It's nighttime at this point. Still have not found them. We are absolutely like torn up. Don't know what we're gonna do. Half of us are like accepting that we're just never gonna see them again, and the other half of us like trying to find a plan. So then if you fast forward, and now I can't remember exactly how it happened, but long story short, after a few hours, I'm 99% sure, in the middle of the night, Nate went back there because I think what someone had told him, he either put it up in a group or the guy that we had, the breeder who we had gotten them from, someone had told him they're probably going to come back to sleep and they're just really excited to be foraging and exploring and in new places and they found a bunch of food, but they'll probably come back home to sleep. So in the middle of the night, he went out there, and lo and behold, those fuckers are exactly where they should have been. All six of them were curled up in their wallow bed nest area, just snoozing away. They had the time of their life, and they are just snoozing. So Nate calls me, and I had to go out there. It was the middle. It had to have been the middle of the night. It must have been like 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night. And we go out there with our flashlights, and we only have one pair of boots that aren't that don't have holes in them. And remember, we just had a huge storm at that point, so we have the. It was such a pain in the ass. I'll skip to it. It was a pain in the ass, but we redid the fence. I guess I never told you what happened. A tree branch had fallen on the fence, and there were some other parts where the water, like it was really, really, really wet where they were. So number one, they were probably super uncomfortable because there really weren't any dry areas. And number two, there was a huge log branch that had fallen on the electric fence so they could get out. And I think something about it had probably grounded it too. I don't know if it's because the branch was on it, but they were able to get out with, I don't think any shock, maybe a minor shock, but clearly it was worth it to all of them. So we ended up getting everything back up and being able to move the paddock that we have them in to like a little bit over so that they did have dry area to be on. So that hopefully they wouldn't be motivated to get out again. So it ended up being fine, and we didn't even have to really chase any pigs. So that's the good news. But man, they gave us a scare. Oh my gosh, that was so horrible. So that is one pig update. And now they are, well, I was gonna say they're all alive and well, but since then we have butchered one of them. So one of them is not alive and well. But what an awful segue. But we did butcher our first Duroc. So I can't remember if that was that the first one? Man, I really should have done my research and re-listened to the podcasts. But we did butcher our first Duroc. Really phenomenal. We are very happy with how they turned out. Yeah, I don't have a lot to say on that. Nate and his friends did it all. So thank you to him. But we got our first Duroc bacon, first Duroc sausage, and we went all out with the sausage. We got so many different varieties. And just, we got Parmesan garlic and a Tuscan and a breakfast sausage and a chorizo and a bunch of, I think there were like seven or eight varieties that Nate had gotten, like little, I don't know, just like spice blends, which I know that you can make them yourself, but they're just fun and easy. And we've already done all the hard work with butchering the pigs, so we liked doing that. So that was all good. Now they're huge. I think Nate's probably going to do another pig here shortly within the next couple weeks. So that will be good. What else should I update you on? Oh gosh, we had a predator problem. We I'm trying to not to be a bummer with this episode, but we've had a really, really freaking hard year. This has by far been our worst farming year to date. It's just like everything that can go wrong will go wrong, and things that we don't even think are possible to go wrong. So, yeah, don't I hope your year is going a lot better than ours. But we also had a huge owl problem, and that was bizarre. I never expected to have an owl problem. But let me take you back. So, actually, around that same time as the Great Pig Escape, I was randomly outside one day and a car of someone that I don't know came up our driveway. And I know we're Southern and we're supposed to be friendly and love our neighbors and just, come up to people's houses, but I still hate that. Like, if you come up my driveway, I'm probably gonna hightail it in the opposite direction. But on this particular day, I think just the way that it worked out, I couldn't run and hide. Like, I had to go up to the car because, or else it would have been really weird and awkward and rude. So I'm not gonna be rude. So I'm going up to this car and I'm like, crap, do I know this person? Because I do not recognize them. But long story short, it was just some nice man. And he explained to me that he drives past, or I guess he lives on like a street over, and he has to drive past our house each morning, early in the morning, on his way to work. And he was like, I just want to let you guys know that for the past 2 or 3 days, I've seen two foxes that are in your yard checking out the chickens and your chicken tractors. And I'm like, oh, okay, crap, that's terrible. And I was so appreciative of him telling us that. And at that time, we didn't, I don't think we had any immediate issues. Like, we've had predator problems in the past, but in that moment, there hadn't been any instance. And it didn't seem like anything had been trying to get in the tractors. We have had fox issues in the past, so I was not surprised. Foxes are usually our number one predator around here. So I told Nate, and lo and behold, that freaking night, we had, I think, three birds get killed that night. And it's very confusing to me. I still don't fully understand it because we have chicken tractors. And what our chicken tractors look like, they're like little boxes, not little, but like PVC boxes with like hardware cloth and chicken wire. Well, I guess mostly not even hardware cloth or chicken wire. What's the other one? Welded? No, okay. It is chicken wire. So the walls are just chicken wire, but it has a roof on it and it's really secure. But the next day, we had found, I think, three chickens that had been killed, and I think, and now I'm not sure because I don't think I actually laid my eyes on them that day. It was Nate that told me this. But I think maybe one or two had been pulled out of the tractor, and one was just dead inside. And we were like, crap, it's the foxes. Well, that week we had like two or three more instances of that. And we're like, okay, we need to get a camera up. So we put our camera up, and wouldn't you know, it was a dang owl doing that. And Nate told me that, and I'm like, there's no way. How, logistically, how could an owl do that? Like, they come from above. How could they come from the side? And the issue is all these chickens that they got, I should have said this first. The chickens that they got are our very young teenage chickens. So these chickens at that time had just graduated from our brooder to the pasture. So they were still only, I want to say, like, I don't know, like 6 inches, 5 inches tall, like 6 inches tall. Like, they weren't full grown birds. They were like not quite chicks, not quite teenage birds yet. Like, they were still very, very young. But they all still huddle together at night and they get right up on the edge. Like, they just huddle together in a corner. So they're all pressed up against the freaking chicken wire, and they're so stupid that when any predator comes, they don't move. Like, they just see their kin falling to the predators and they don't fucking move. And I've never understood that. You'd think even an amoeba with not even one brain cell would know to like move out of the way if a predator is coming, but I guess because it's night, that's what Nate says. I don't know. Because anytime I try and catch them in the middle of the day, they sure as heck run from me. But I guess at night, they are just like completely immobile, whatever. So But he caught it on camera, and if you're interested, I can try and put up that footage on Instagram or something if you want to see it, if you don't believe me. But we had a camera and we watched the owl walk, like it was looking and looking, and it walked up and it like just like a freaking human walked up on its legs and like puts its little feet claws in there. And I just could not believe it was an owl. It was insane. Unfortunately, though, we still have not solved the owl problem. Because what the, how do you, what do you do with an owl? we don't really know what to do about the owl. You're not really supposed to shoot them, and you can't really trap them. So we still have an owl problem to this day. And it just happened the other night again. So we're trying to figure out how to like, now that they're bigger, it's not as much of an issue, I don't think. But we're about to have another batch go out on pasture, at least within the next week or two. So we don't really know what to do about that. Nate is trying to fix it, but if you have any suggestions on how to fix that, then let us know. I think you can shoot owls, you just have to have a permit. But I mean, in general, we like owls. We don't want to shoot it, but you know, if you keep eating our chickens, we'll have to do something. And I hate the idea of him shooting at nighttime too. That just freaks me out, even if it's legal. But yeah. So help us fix our owl problem. And then kind of along the same lines on the bird note, we have officially given up on our breasts project. We no longer have any breasts on the farm. That whole thing was very disappointing from start to finish. We were so excited. Man, like a year and a half ago, maybe over that, we had gotten, if you don't know, we had gotten breasts, eggs from a person online, and breasts are supposed to be like a super gourmet poultry, and they have like marbled fat in their meat, and they're supposed to be like red meat and like the most expensive, delicious chicken that have ever touched your lips. Supposed to be super popular in France and like $1 million per chicken wing, whatever. And so we had gotten some eggs, and that went terribly. I'm sure we have a podcast on that, but we had terrible hatch rate. It was because the eggs were contaminated. We only and from that what we only got two, and they happened to be a male and a female. So we did end up breeding them, and then the batch that we had as of a couple weeks ago were all of those babies. So originally our plan, because the ones that we had bred were most likely brother and sister, we don't know that for sure, but we're assuming so. Our plan had been to like maybe keep some of the females and then source out a new rooster to start like a breeding project for them. But we started trying them. Our first one was the original male that we had hatched out, and once the chicks were born and we didn't really have a use for our rooster anymore, we did eat him. And he had the body of like a layer. Like if you've ever seen the difference meat-wise between a layer and a meat bird, layers like hardly have any meat on them at all. So we were a little bit surprised by that because they're supposed to be a meat bird. And then the meat was so extremely tough. It was like not even worth like eating. And we kind of chalked that up to, okay, it's an older bird. Like, we weren't, you know, super intentional about the way that we fed him, because I think you're supposed, like, technically, the gourmet birds, you're supposed to feed like dairy or something. Like, they have a super gourmet way of feeding them to help get the most fat or whatever on it. And we were just feeding them whatever we'd usually feed our meat birds. So we kind of made all these excuses of why it was so terrible. So, in fact, that was months ago. That was probably like what, 6 months ago? And then recently, within the past like month or so, we're really running out of chicken room right now in general, because Nate increased our chicken production in a lot of areas, so we're really running out of extra room on the farm. And these breast chicks that we had hatched out from our two original eggs, we had what, how many, like eight, I want to say we had eight birds. And they were just kind of taking up room. It's kind of a long story. We were supposed to get like a mobile coop, but that ended up falling through from the person that was supposed to build it for us. So we kind of had them in this temporary area that I had made, but it was only supposed to be temporary, but then it turned permanent for them, and we're just running out of room and running out of feed and running out of patience and time. So we were like, you know what? Let's just ha try another one, see if this is even worth continuing, and move on from there. So we tried another one, and it was not as tough, but it just still, like, it didn't look like there was the marbling that the point of them is. Like, it just looked like it, we were just not impressed. Like, it was fine. It was fine. I would say, yeah, it's better than like a laying rooster, like a laying hen rooster. Not a laying hen rooster, that didn't make any sense, but like a freaking leghorn rooster. Like, it was better than that. But we were just not impressed with how much work and time and money we put into this project. We were so hopeful, and we were like, this is not as impressive as we expected it to be. So we just kind of got rid of all those. We got rid of all those. We no longer have, I think we do have one breast in our, no, two. I think we have two breast hens. No, we have three. Oh, I took that back. I guess we do have a lot of breasts. We have three breast hens in our laying coop currently. But they're just, we just didn't want to kill them. Well, they can just be in with the layers. There's no problem with that. And we have access to them if we do ever want to start that project again. Because that can always be in the future. We would definitely get a different line than we got this time. I do wonder about the person that we got them from. I would be willing to try again from a different breeder, because I just really don't trust him. Do not trust him. But yeah, for right now, we are not doing the breast project, and that is a little bit disappointing. Okay, we made a little time jump after the breast conversation I just had. One of my kids woke up, and I had to deal with that. So we are now in the next day, which ended up being a blessing in disguise, because as you heard in the beginning of this episode, I got to catch a couple minutes with Nate for him to make a mini appearance on the pod, which was nice. And it's funny that I don't know. He said that he didn't, nothing has been good, because that is true. And like I mentioned in the beginning, I'm trying to not make this a downer episode, but the reality is we had gotten a little bit too optimistic with how things had been going. After COVID, we really upscaled everything. Really, we kind of turned our homestead into more of a farm, and we were really working with more profit. And I think we just got a little bit, I hate to say optimistic, because it is good to have goals and be optimistic, but we just really bit off more than we could chew. And I don't think we fully realized how different it would be post-COVID. And I know COVID was really bad, and don't get me wrong, but there were a lot of really great things with me working from home, and I had maternity leave, and he got to work from home a lot, and both of our jobs were just like really not busy, and we just had a lot more time. And so I think we just didn't expect that once the pandemic was over, so to speak. I know it's not over, but for all intents and purposes, pretty much everything has gone back to normal, and everything has just really gotten harder with our jobs, like tenfold. Like, I am so busy with my job. I have no free time. It's harder than it's ever been before. He's working night shift, he's working overtime. So, in addition to scaling up this year, we also have less time. So, we just didn't really fully account for that. And so, we're kind of drowning, it feels like. And maybe that's a little bit dramatic, but we're just definitely in survival mode. And this coming month, it's going to get even harder because we are getting turkeys and probably another ram, which we usually do for breeding, but it's a lot on top of everything and things just going wrong. It's hard to not get burnt out, but I think we do see the light at the end of the tunnel. We were just talking about how what it, we just got to get through July. We got to get through July. And it'll be easier, and we learned our lesson. We're gonna scale down next year and have it be more manageable. We just gotta make it through July. Yeah. So on that note, yeah, we're gonna get our ram like we usually do every year, or we have been for the past like 2 years, I think. He will be coming next month as of right now, to kind of start that lambing process. And then each month, I don't think I mentioned it on this podcast, but the way that we do our meat chickens, we get a batch of 80 each one time a month during all of the summer months. So I believe we started in March, I want to say. That was another thing we did. We got them a month earlier than we did last year, which was not did not work out very well. I learned our lesson with that one too. And we get it usually like the first full week of each month through August. So we, of course, already have our June ones. We're going to be getting our July ones in, I think, what is it, 2 weeks? And then our final batch will be in August. And we are like, hip, hip, hooray, only two more batches. We are so done with chicks. But the fun part, in July is that Nate got a crap ton of turkeys. And again, I think in retrospect, we probably would not have made that choice. And I think we're going to do things differently next year, depending on how they go. But they will be coming next month in addition to the normal 80 chicks. So that is going to mean we are going to need to have another brooder. So that will be on our list of things to do. We with the oh, I guess I didn't mention this part either. It threw me off having the kids wake up last night. In addition to getting rid of the breasts, we also are in the process of scrapping our White Rock homegrown meat bird test for right now. That had been a big thing that we were excited about, and it's just kind of turned into we keep putting it on the back burner. If you don't follow us, I think 2 years ago we started the journey on experimenting with breeding our own like Cornish crosses, kind of. We got a bunch of White Rocks and some Cornish, and we had this whole plan to breed them and do selective breeding to make like a really nice local meat bird, kind, as similar as we could to Cornish crosses. It's impossible to like make your own exact Cornish cross. But we were just hoping to have some kind of option to be a little bit more self-sustaining, help out our community if it worked well. It's a great idea, and it's not out of the question, permanently. But with everything else going on, we just kind of kept putting it on the back burner and the back burner and the back burner, because there is kind of a lot involved with it. And we had, I want to say, what, 12 White Rocks and like four Cornish. And, then we had a predator problem. We had to get more White Rocks. So I had to wait for them to be mature. And then we would have to do the incubation of the eggs and then, raise them and then selectively breed from that and then get new, it would go on and on. So it's kind of an intense process. And we just kept putting it on the back burner. And the way that we had them because we, yeah, it's just been a series of unfortunate events. We were supposed to get a coop built, but that had fallen through. So we had them in one of our mobile tractors because we thought by the summer, we did that like in the fall. We thought by the summer, which would be now, we would have our other like breeding coop built. And so that would, we could reuse our chicken tractor for our meat birds because we're going to have 10 billion meat birds. But that didn't end up happening. So they were still in the tractor. And in the tractor, there's not like the way that we have ours built, we don't have any kind of nesting box area. Like that's just not how it's designed because they were intended for meat birds who would not get to a laying age. So they ended up just laying everywhere and they eat their own eggs. And so that made it hard anyway. And it was just kind of too much for what we needed right now. So we ended up selling those. Someone came and picked up, I think a little over half of them yesterday. And I think this weekend and we have someone else coming to pick up the rest of them. So for right now, we're kind of putting that project on hold. It's never over. I still think it's a good idea. It really is our dream to have a more sustainable way to have meat birds. And yes, I'm sure you're all thinking, just get a heritage meat bird. Like, that's pretty obvious. But we really like the way that the Cornish crosses grow. We love how efficient they are. And it was just supposed to be a fun little project. And it turned into being more work than and less fun. You know, the whole thing was it was supposed to be fun, a fun project, and it was not fun for right now. And it was just kind of a money waster because of course we still had to feed them. Nate still had to move them every day. You know, we weren't even getting eggs from them because they were eating their eggs. They didn't have a laying box. And yeah, we just pulled the trigger on that. Goodbye to them. I'm glad they went to good homes. And the good news is it's very easy to sell pretty much any hen of laying age. So that was not hard to sell. I'm sure they all went to good homes and we didn't have to eat any of them. Even the rooster that was with them, we really tried to pitch that rooster had been with them since they were all chicks. Like, please also take the rooster. And someone did take the rooster with their bat. I think they got like six hens. So they took our rooster. So we're happy about that. So yeah, so we have them hopefully gone. So we'll be able to move our chicks from the June batch of meat birds. They are in that growth stage. If you've ever raised chicks, they're in that in between, not quite teenager chicks, not quite baby chicks, where they can like get out of the brooder if you don't have a top on, and they just you have to like clean it every day, the brooder. So they're gonna be going on pasture. I'm praying this weekend. And then we'll have a little bit of time to have a break from a brooder before we have to have double brooders next in like 2 weeks. That's where we are with a lot of our bird stuff. Hey, but the good news, the one optimistic, like truly good thing is I think we finally are on a great groove with the chicken processing day situation. It took kind of a while. I think it even when we left off last year, we were still working out a lot of the kinks. It was a really, really long day, really labor intensive on chicken processing day. And we have kind of ironed out the kinks. We've all gotten in a groove. We have a great, I guess you'd call him a farmhand as a kid that comes, you know, a young man who comes to help Nate. And I think he enjoys it for the most part, as much as you can enjoy a chicken processing day. But they do it together while I manage the kids and I help package and kind of anything they need in between there and try and cook them food and get them water when they need it and help stuff, you know, in between. But that has been a lot more efficient. We have most all the infrastructure that we need for that, finally. We have a real chicken plucker. He has a really cool, like, mobile table thing that has a faucet. I don't know how to describe it other than, like, literally, it looks like a folding table with a tiny little sink and faucet that you hook up to your just like a regular hose, but it makes it like a sink outside. So that is helpful in a lot of ways. We got the cones. They have a system down of getting the birds, and they have their own little assembly line. We have enough coolers to get them inside. We have bags that we really like to put the whole birds in. We've really got it down, and so I'm really happy about that because it for a while there, I would really dread chicken processing day. I was thinking about how I dreaded it, and the part I dreaded most was for a couple. For like two or three times, we didn't have a scalder, so I literally just had to use my canning pot on my stove to scald the birds, and that was so stinky and gross, and I hated doing it. I forgot to mention when I was talking about the infrastructure, we also have a real chicken scalder as well. Well, I think it's real. We have something that they do outside with propane. I can't remember if it's technically a chicken scalder or if it's something else that we use, but it has been working really well. So all of that, everything with the actual processing is done outside. They do the gutting outside and all that to make it a lot it's helpful and a lot more sanitary, doing that all outside than we bring them in and clean them up. So yeah, we are great with that. If you want any tips or anything, feel free to message me because I'm really happy with the way that we do that. So that's not as much of a dread, but it does still take like a whole, definitely a whole day to do it. And then the rest of the weekend, we usually have to, take up with the fine tuning of everything and packaging everything and all that. So, hey, that's one good thing that's happened this year. Other than all that, I think that's all the animal updates I want to say. Cow's still doing fine. We just have one cow right now. He's living life just out there in the back. Right now we don't have any plans to do another one any this summer, but I'm sure we will reevaluate that. I'm sure in August once all the chicken stuff is, on the downswing and once we have time to just catch a breath after everything that's gone on. I think, like I said, everything will be better once August comes around or September, one of those, right? I'll hold on to that. But that's all the animal updates. Garden update. I don't want to do a garden update. That one also is going to be a downer. I have not been keeping up with the garden. I'm very disappointed in myself. I thought it couldn't get worse than last year, but I didn't prepare the garden well enough, which I hadn't last year either. But this year, I'm just really kicking myself because I spent so much time with my seedlings, and I spent weeks and weeks and weeks tending to those. And I had such healthy, beautiful plants. And now I see them just like withering away in the garden. The tomatoes are looking great. Even the peppers that I have are looking pretty good. But I never filled up all of my space. And so already the spaces that don't have any plants are starting to get weedy a little bit. And my squash got, they got squash bugs so early, and I didn't do any kind of preventative with that. So, a lot of my squash are already going downhill. We also had a really dry spell, and because I didn't mulch everything as well as I usually do, the soil, the top layer of it, ended up in some parts, especially in the squash bed, were a little bit hydrophobic, which really screwed me up. And it's because I had added extra soil. It's everywhere that I had expanded the garden last year with where I had added store-bought soil. Like that can be such a downfall because once all the like nutrients is gone and once it if you don't mulch it and you don't keep up with it, it really like essentially dies. Like in this, like the soil, if you don't keep it healthy, it dies. And in those parts where I didn't keep up with it has become a little bit hydrophobic. And so when it rains or when I water it, sometimes the water just like beads up and runs right off of it, or it doesn't penetrate like you would expect it to. And so unfortunately, I did a little bit of the rotational gardening. I don't usually do that, but I just tried to rearrange some things to make it just make more sense. And so my squash haven't been getting deep watered, And so they are not looking too hot right now. And so I'm just very disappointed in that. But I'm gonna bite the bullet. I'm not gonna be hoity-toity. I'm just gonna get some new starts at the store, which I usually hate doing, but it is what it is. I'd rather have food than no food. I'm not above that. It is what it is. I'll try again next year. It doesn't even have to be next year. We have a really long growing season, so I can really start things whenever I want to right now. Like, I'm still within my time frame. I'm running out, but I'm still within my time frame that I could do another succession planting of things, which, now that I'm saying that, I'll probably do that. But I will get more plate starts at, so what am I trying to say? More starts at the store. Yeah, I haven't gotten, we've gotten a couple cucumbers, we've gotten green beans, a couple of my tomatoes are just starting to blush. So we are starting to get there. Oh, we got a couple blackberries, we got strawberries, we got blueberries, we got asparagus. So we did get some things. One of my goals for this year had been more fruit, and we did get more fruit. Have not gotten any raspberries yet, so that might not be a success this year, but that's okay. So hopefully next month I will have a better update with the garden, a happier update, because the great thing about gardening is that you can always change what you're doing. You can scrap it and start over for the, for the most part. And so that's probably just what I'm going to have to do. I have a lot of open space in the garden. I have a lot of things that I might just pull up and start new. It'll probably be a later season, but we, the great thing for us where we are, we have a little like local farm stand like 2 miles down the road, not even. So I'll still get fresh, local, affordable fruits and vegetables, even if I don't grow them myself, which is a little heartbreaking, but it's my own fault. You get what you put in, and I didn't put it in, so I'm not getting it out. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think this episode is long enough. Hopefully, this has motivated Nate to get back on the horse, and we can make a little bit more time to do some podcasting. But definitely pray for us next month. It will be challenging, but just got to get through it day by day. Part of it. We have a lot of animals depending on us. Can't give up. It'll be worth it, right? I hope y'all have a good day, and we will talk to you next time. Bye.